verses 20 and 21. John chapter 20, as you are standing, verses 19, 20, and 21. Here in Scripture, this is after Jesus has been crucified, and we have Him saying here to His disciples, He is returning, making Himself known to the disciples. Verse 19. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when He had said this, He showed them both His hands and His side. The disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, doing, Lord, I just want to thank you, God, for what you are doing here at this church. Dear Lord, I pray that you would raise up a generation of people, of children, who would be about your business. Dear Lord, who would share your word with people in whom they would come in contact with in years to come. Dear Lord, I pray that we, as their parents, I pray that we would stand in the gap for them now, and that we would pray upon their behalf. We would share the gospel with them, and that we would show them how to act as Christians. We would model reading your word in front of them. Lord, that we would not only model it through what we say, but also what we do. Lord, I want to thank you for rising again. I want to thank you for coming in the presence of these people, even though they were behind locked doors. I want to thank you for continuing to reach people behind locked doors. I want to thank you for being my sacrifice. And dear Lord, it's on days like today that I am reminded it is to you that I dedicate my life. Father, I do so again on this day as we dedicate this child, Ezra. And dear Lord, I pray that we would take this as a challenge and that we would take this opportunity to dedicate our lives once to you again, and in the cause of your service. Which in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, the church is a very powerful force on the planet, yet it is only as powerful as we humans allow it. You believe that? The church is one of the most powerful organisms on the face of the earth, but it is only as powerful as we will allow it. God is, yes, He's the source of the power, but I remember that Jesus was not able to do many miracles in His hometown because of the unbelief of the people. You remember that? It's found in Matthew chapter 13, verse 58. The church is the most powerful organism on the planet. And with God being its power, what is the only thing that can keep the church from achieving what God wants it to? You know, I read the following quote this week, and it stuck in my mind. And this is what the quote says. "I remember being broken by the fact that there weren't too many churches reaching the next generation who were both postmodern and multi-ethnic in flavor. As a kid, my best friends were African-American or Caucasian. I'd wondered why churches were so segregated. Furthermore, I saw how most of the churches I knew weren't connecting with my friends. Church just seemed so irrelevant and boring to them." Is that the way Christ wants His church to look and feel? Irrelevant and boring? The church is supposed to be the most powerful organism on earth. Not the building, but the people who are inside it. You know, we were made for an unstoppable mission, but sometimes I wonder if we are stopping ourselves from our full potential simply because of our unbelief. Here in this passage of Scripture in John chapter 20, verse 19, 20, and 21, it's an amazing passage of Scripture. We've been talking about what we're on earth for. Last week, we finished a sermon that was based upon what God wanted us to be doing in this world. And we've talked about worship, and we've talked about Him preparing us and creating us to worship Him. We've talked about several things. Today, we were made for an unstoppable mission. We were made for an unstoppable mission. So we look at this passage. We first see that, of course, this is after Jesus' death, hanging on the cross. But He enters in the midst. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut with the disciples, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, one of the first things I want you to notice is that they were behind locked doors. They were behind locked doors. I wonder how many people are afraid and hiding behind locked doors today. I wonder if any of you are afraid and hiding behind locked doors today. You know, many years ago, I've said this many times in this sanctuary. My granddad, I can remember him sitting out on the front porch, and his neighbors would come by. They would pull up, and they would pull up in the driveway from seeing him on the front porch throw his hand up. They would turn around, come back, pull up, and they would spend about 15 minutes talking to my granddad sitting on the front porch. It was just a way of life back then. Of course, that was the 50s, maybe 40s and 50s and 60s, but it's a time that, and even up into the 70s and 80s, I can still remember my granddad doing that. I can see, visualize him doing that. But now, you know, too often we have these things on our houses that are called garages. We pop the garage door, we drive in, we shut it, and we're locked behind doors. Not to be seen by our community, not to be seen by our neighbors. I've told you a time before when I was going to go out to the mailbox and there was a neighbor out there that I really didn't want to talk to. And I know, shame on me, but you know, I'm just being real with you. I'm just being real with you. And so I was like, are they still out there? Looking out the windows. That's the type of society that I grew up in, that what I am. I want to pull in the garage, open the door, and shut it, and be holed up. Anybody else want to do that from time to time? Thank you for your honesty. I mean, really and truly. There are at times when Mike Casey can go and not be heard, not be seen, will not answer his phone. It's just something that I do. Something that I need to do for my own sanity. But if that's where we remain behind locked doors all the time, that in itself becomes a problem. Here the disciples are. Of course, they have a reason to be hiding behind locked doors because the Jews just killed Jesus. And they're afraid that they're going to kill them too. So they're up in a room behind locked doors. But something amazing happens when you're afraid and you're alone and you're behind locked doors. Something amazing happens. Jesus enters the room. Now, I know that as you're reading that, you're thinking it was a locked door. Yes, it was. Well, was He a ghost? No, He was not. Because as we read in the Scripture, once He gets in that room, what does He say? See My hands. Feel My side. He was not just a spirit. It was Jesus. It was Him physically. So how did He do that? I don't know. Really don't know. But this I do know. He did it. He walked into a room that had locked doors. He didn't knock. He didn't open a door. He simply enters. What does that mean for us? What it means for me is that Jesus can go where no one else can go. He can go where no doctor can go. He can go where no counselor can go. He can reach me. He can reach you. He can reach into me and He can reach into you anywhere and at any time. No matter if we're behind a closed door, no matter if the doors are locked, no matter if we're hiding from people, Jesus can find us and He can touch us. I find that comforting to know that He can find me even when I do not want to be found. Even in the midst of my own grief and in the midst of my own terror and my own trouble, that Jesus can find me. And what does He offer when He finds us in that moment where we don't want anybody else to find us? That moment when we're hidden, when the doors are locked, when we're secluded, what does He offer? He offers peace. Jesus tells them twice here in this passage of Scripture, "Peace be with you," in verse number 19 and then again in verse number 21. "Peace be with you." Notice that in the middle of their terror, Jesus, their terror of what? That they're going to be killed by the Jews the same way Jesus was. In the middle of their terror, Jesus, all of a sudden, which would freak me out, just walks into a room, Him not being a spirit, Him being a physical man, and He offers me peace. You know, over the past week, we've experienced the death of two people associated with our church. When it comes to Daniel, even when it comes to Angie, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't even attempt to want to understand it. But what I do know is that whatever we experience in this life that makes us want to close and lock the doors, Jesus enters, and what He offers is a peace that surpasses all understanding. This is what I know. In the middle of our pain, in the middle of our hurt, in the middle of our wanting to hide from humanity, Jesus enters into our presence. He reaches into our lives, into our heart, and He offers us what no one else can. Peace. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. When your heart is troubled, this is what I know. Jesus offers me peace. When I don't understand why things happen the way they do, Jesus stands in the midst for me into my life. He speaks these words, "Peace be with you, Mike. Peace be with you." What is this peace He offers? First, He offers me peace between me and Him. Jesus is not a judge to me. He is my friend. He is my friend. He does not judge me. He is Mike's friend. And He stands before me knowing all that I've done, knowing what I'll probably want to hide from, and He offers me peace. He does not offer me judgment. He offers me peace. He offers me peace between me and God. The reason Jesus came was so that God's wrath might be satisfied another way besides my eternal punishment. That's why Jesus came. God makes peace with us by substituting His Son suffering for our penalty. So Jesus offers me peace that between me and Him, but He also offers me a peace that is between me and God. We talked last Sunday about, and even in Sunday school, about being justified by grace through faith. I'm justified by grace through faith. When God looks at me, He sees Jesus Christ's substitution in my place. And do you know what that does between me and God? It makes Him at peace with me and me at peace with Him. He offers me peace between me and Jesus. He offers me peace between me and God. He also offers me peace between me and others who are in Christ. You know, to be reconciled with God is to be reconciled to all who are reconciled to God. There does not need to be any hostility between us brothers and sisters in Christ. There does not need to be any hostility between us horizontally. Why? Because there's no hostility that extends vertically. There's no hostility from God toward me, and He knows all that I've done. Yet He offers grace and peace. These are the two great things that Christ offers. And He's extending that out unto us. He offers peace between me and Him, between me and His Father. And then He says, I want there to be peace between you and your brothers and sisters. Because there's peace between me and you. Then there, He offers peace between me and my own soul. Who is our worst enemy? No, I'm not your worst enemy. Okay, let me rephrase that. Who is Mike's worst enemy? Mike? Aren't we our own worst enemy at times? We are harder on ourselves than God is.
Many times we have a false guilt that Satan wants to come and swallow us up into. A false guilt. That nobody's going to forgive you. Look at what you've done. Oh, how bad of a person you can be. And that creates not peace between me and God or me and others. It causes hostility. It doesn't mean that between me and my own soul. It doesn't mean that all of the past is going to be forgotten, at least by me. Scripture tells us that God, He chooses not to remember. Scripture talks about Him casting our sins into a sea of forgetfulness, which is where He chooses not to remember. Because He could if He wanted to. He's God. He can do anything. But He chooses not to remember. I wish I had that ability to choose not to remember. But oh, don't we? Don't we have the ability to choose not to remember that which has been placed under the blood of Jesus Christ? You bet we do. It's a daily choice. But Satan jumps on us and he wants to stir the pot and say, remember when you did. Remember when. False guilt. He offers me peace between me and my own soul. Doesn't mean that the pain is taken away. What it does mean is that there is the possibility for there to be healing in my life. That's what it means. When Jesus offers me peace, that's what it means. There's the possibility of Mike forgiving himself, of Mike being able to heal where he's been so badly wounded. Because Jesus has extended His hand down into my life and He's speaking peace into my life. There is the possibility for true healing to occur. As we go on through this passage of Scripture, we come to the critical part that I want to talk to you today. And that is, we were made for an unstoppable mission. It's all wrapped up in the two verses that we've just discussed. Jesus came to give us peace with God. Do you know what our mission is? We talk in terms of Matthew chapter 18 and Acts chapter 1, the Great Commission. Of course that is. But let's talk in it in the terms of John chapter 20, verses 19, 20, and 21. Let's speak of our mission in terms of being peacemakers with people. Let's speak of our mission as bringing others peace from God. Isn't that what salvation is about? Isn't that what Jesus Christ came to do? To offer us peace? These things that we've just spoken about. Then isn't that our mission? Yes, it is. Our mission is to extend to people peace. Jesus came to give us peace with God. And we were created to share Jesus with people. He says there in verse 21, as the Father sent me, so send I you. It is so clearly and so simple. As the Father sent me to tell you about the peace and salvation that comes through me, so send I you to go tell others about the peace that I came and have shared with you and about the salvation that I've shared with you that I want to share with them. Do you know there are only two attitudes that hinder this mission? Do you know what they are? Certainly in a world that seems like it's going out of control, just a look on the news, read through the paper, Atlanta Constitution, Journal and Constitution, looking on CNN, Fox, whatever it is you watch. The world is upside down and it's not for Jesus. It's just upside down. There was ever a time when the world and people needed peace. Surely it is today. Surely when a message of peace would resonate with people, surely it is a day in which we live. But what is the attitude? There are two attitudes that hinder our mission from going and sharing this peace with people. What are those two attitudes? What are those two attitudes? The attitude of disobedience. Jesus said, even so I send you. To do what? to go hide and lock yourself in a room somewhere. And it's not what Jesus wants us to do. Even though we may feel like it. Even though we may be afraid for our lives. Jesus speaks peace into our lives. Even though it may cost us our life. Guess what Jesus speaks? Even as we are in the midst of dying. Guess what He offers? He offers peace that surpasses all understanding. The attitude of disobedience. He said, even so I send you to do what? To share Jesus and His peace with people. We either do or we do not. It's kind of like Yoda. I tell my students this all the time. When they have this, students love to say, I'm trying. You ever heard that phrase, I'm trying? What really does trying mean? Yoda, of course I'm a Star Wars guy. Yoda says, you either do or you do not do. There is no such thing as trying. Which is an interesting concept. And I know we that's not scripture. I know that comes from Yoda. But nonetheless, I'm going to say, what are we doing? We're either obeying or we're not obeying. We're either sharing His peace or we're not sharing His peace. We're either holed up, afraid, and behind locked doors, or we're out and we're sharing God's grace and His peace. Which one are we doing? The attitude of disobedience does not do. And then there is the attitude of disbelief. These two will hinder us from achieving God's mission here in our lives. The attitude of disbelief. People will either choose to follow Jesus or they will not choose to follow Jesus. It is not upon me to convince them to follow Jesus. It is up to me to share His message of peace, hope, and love. It is up to them to have the belief. The result is not up to me. That is between other people and God. My responsibility is in the sharing the peace of God to all men. That is what we're required to do. We're either doing it or we're not doing it. The other thing that can help hinder us is that attitude of disbelief. And I'm not just speaking of other people's disbelief. I'm speaking about our own. As we think about an unstoppable mission, Jesus' word is going to be spread either with or without us. That's what I believe. Do you think the church should be the strongest organism on the face of the planet like I do? As we read through Scripture and see how awesome and powerful. Yesterday, Shelly and I was driving and I looked up and saw the moon. We were in Carrollton going to visit Denise and Stevie's grandson, Candler. As I looked over there, the moon just hung there. It was amazing. It was beautiful. I looked at her and I said, how can people not believe that there's a God? And seeing that just hanging there in space, in the vacuum. How does it hang there without something holding it in place? That something is God. Nonetheless, I digress a little bit. But the point is that to see the amazing God that we serve, and what He's done to share with us hope of life eternal. What He has done for us in giving His Son for us. And all He wants us to do is be obedient and to believe in who He is. It is rather interesting that He does partner with me. I do find it amazing that He would even partner with humanity to share His grace. But that's what He has chosen to do. And it is up to us. Choose whether or not we want to be obedient or disobedient to sharing His peace with other people. So we come and we get a verse of song ready, an invitation. If you will, you can go ahead and be turning to page 277. It is as I think about the mission to spread God's peace throughout the world, as I think about the awesomeness and the vastness of that responsibility, do you know what I want to do immediately? I want to go home, lock the doors. How can I reach the whole world? Well, We reach the whole world by giving our tithes and offerings, not only to the church, but to the Southern Baptist Convention, and where the Annie Armstrong mission offering, the Lottie Moon mission offering in Christmas, one in Easter. That's how we spread the gospel to the world. Yes, we may not be doing it ourselves, but through our money we are doing that. I want to encourage you to think about going on an international mission trip at some point in your life. It is something that will change your life. And if you can't go or unable to go, will you covenant to pray for those who are? Doing so is by being obedient and praying and standing in the gap. It's just the same as though you were sharing. At times it seems like a task that I cannot accomplish. And yet I wonder if the disciples ever felt the same. I know they first began behind locked doors, but Jesus came into their presence and offered them peace. I believe He wants to offer me peace for the same task. And I believe that He wants to offer you peace as well. I don't know what you are going through. I know what I've gone through this week. It's been an extremely difficult week. My heart has ached for people. I've cried. This week I've gone through the whole gamut of death, helping plan funerals, of getting this facility ready with you for a funeral, and it begins today by holding a baby. What I need most in my life is the peace of God. Only the peace of God can enter Mike's life and can sustain him through such a week as this. Can sustain us through times in our life when we are questioning and when we don't understand why. Wherever you are today, I want you to know that Jesus can enter behind those locked doors, and what He wants to do is to offer you peace for the task to share His word, to share His love, and to share His peace with others. If you don't have that peace, I want to invite you to come get that peace today. Would you pray with me as you stand? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You, Lord, I want to thank You, Lord, for what You've done in my life this week. I want to thank You for what You've done in the life of our church. Lord, I pray that You would continue to minister Your peace unto us. And I pray that we would take the challenge of entering an unstoppable mission and sharing Your peace and grace with others, for people truly need it in a day such as this. Pray that if there's one that has never experienced the peace that You can give, pray today would be the day that they would receive it. And I pray, dear Lord, if there's someone out there that's hiding behind locked doors, pray today they would experience Your presence. Pray that they would offer, or that they would receive the offer of peace in their life. Pray that they would receive the offer of healing to their souls. Pray they would accept the challenge of going and sharing that same peace and that same healing with others. Dear Lord, I pray for Your Spirit to descend upon the place. Pray that we would be obedient to what He is knocking and saying to our heart. I ask all these things in Your precious and holy name.